like a love, I'm hanging on me, push and shove. Possession is the motivation that is hanging up the goddamn nation. Looks like we always end up in a rut. Everybody now trying to make it real compared to what. Children are killing frogs. Poor dumb rednecks rolling logs. Tired old ladies kissing dogs. I hate the human love of that stinking mud. I can't use it. Trying to make it real compared to what. Come on, baby.
Another day. Another week. It's Thursday, 15th of June. What, can you, any of you folks, tell me what Monday is all about? I go on the website today, one of my suppliers, informing me that they will be closed on Monday for Juneteenth. What in the hell is Juneteenth? Now, somebody today told me that it sounds like it's another a holiday for blacks or something. I don't know if that's correct, but that's crazy. It's like, okay, this group gets a whole month, and now we got the Rainbow Coalition has their month this month. This is insane. Okay, never mind. Good evening. For the second week in a row, we're doing economic commentary on a Thursday. Don't ask me why. To be honest with you, the programs that I brought to you the last two nights have had an astounding meaning for me. I was at the dentist yesterday morning, and the gal working with me, we had quite an interesting conversation. I was back there this morning, not because I had the hots for her, but because it was part two of what we were starting yesterday. And we had a discussion about the Tuesday program, the ADD, ADHD business, and she was quite interested. So she, I gave her a little link for it and then shared with her what we did yesterday. And, of course, she's in the medical profession, et cetera. She's quite intrigued with all of this. And then I got a very, very interesting couple of texts from a doctor who's become a really good friend, a very enjoyable man. He would tune in on Friday nights with his wife and children in the Oops, I accidentally just shut myself off. How long have I been shut off? How long did I have my microphone shut off? Oh, well, what happens? So 2 seconds. Okay, that's good. All right, so after last night's program, I get a text from the doctor who says I was about to text. I had a chance to listen live tonight. Well, at my conference last week, I had a CME on medical errors. The attorney giving the lecture compared the number of deaths due to medical errors as the equivalent of one large cruise ship sinking with all hands every week. So then he comes back to me this morning. I re-listened to the program again from last night. Too bad I can't get CME credit for what you relate compared to what I received in Florida. Keep it coming. No holding back. Great program. I may have told you a friend of mine is a medical residency director in Tennessee, and he is frustrated with new residents who don't want to stay late to work on unique and challenging cases. How interesting. It's Dr. Fred, thanks. I appreciate your input. It's imperative to me that I receive it. It's quite interesting. So, okay, we open with some, you know, piece of music I haven't used for a while. For the longest time, I actually used that as an opening piece. But let's cover a couple of headlines and a couple of brief pieces, and we're going to get to the basis of what our subject matter is going to be tonight. One of the headlines I posted a couple of days ago, 11 signs that our economic problems are accelerating much faster than most people were anticipating. A lot of so-called experts have been telling us that economic conditions are likely to start deteriorating later in the year. But here we are in June, and the economy is beginning to unravel much more quickly than most of them had anticipated. The housing bubble is imploding. Existing home sales are plunging all over the nation. Foreclosures are surging. Manufacturing numbers have fallen into contraction territory, and jobless claims are rising. We're building up a tremendous amount of momentum in the wrong direction, and just about everyone agrees that the outlook for the remainder of 2023 is not promising. So if things are bad now, what are they going to look like in 6 months? For a long time, the U.S. economy was remarkably resilient. But now things have begun to change in a major way. No, we're not going to talking about Joey and all the nonsense. What we're going to do is share with you, for at least a part of this program, the 11 signs that our economic problems are accelerating much more faster than people were anticipating. First of all, we've recently learned that foreclosure-related filings were up 14% last month compared to the same period a year ago. Now, if you are doing any studying, what's going on in California and Oregon and places on the East or the West Coast are unbelievable. We're reading of major shopping malls that are basically just being handed over to the loan, the people who loan the mortgage payments on those malls. They're done. People aren't going to the malls, and those that do are robbing the place six ways to Sunday. They're losing money left and right. More and more people are just shutting down and getting out. The second mall, third mall that was ever built in Arizona, Metro Center, began to shut down some years ago. It got to the point that the only thing that was in there was a Walmart. And they've now shut it down, and they're tearing the entire mall down. Christown still exists. It's the oldest mall in the state. And there's a mall down in Tucson. Lord knows how any of them are surviving. But as the cost of living in the U.S. continues to climb, foreclosures of homes are on the rise. May foreclosure-related filings, which include default notices, schedule auctions, and bank repos, were up 7% from April, 14% from a year ago. Over 35,000 properties, according to the real estate data group, ATOM. Secondly, we're being warned that foreclosure filings are on an upward trajectory, which suggests heightened activity in the months ahead. And those recent increases in foreclosure filings nationwide indicate a trend that has been observed throughout the year and what we had expected to occur. And this upward trajectory suggests the possibility of continued heightened activity, with foreclosure completions seeing the largest monthly increase this year. And we'll continue to monitor the potential impacts this may have on the entire housing market. Number three, as the housing bubble bursts, sales of existing homes are falling all over the nation. Sales of existing homes in central Indiana have now declined for 16 months in a row. Number four, one recent study found that a whopping 8 million Americans currently live in a household that is behind on paying rent. Many are just barely surviving from month to month, like a single mother that was recently profiled in the LA Times. Evelyn Arceo holds down a full-time job as a baker at Universal Studios, earning $19 an hour. But even when she gets a few hours of overtime at the theme park, a single mother of four can barely afford the rent of her one-bedroom apartment in Panorama City. On her salary, buying a home is out of the question. And she's paying $1,300 a month in rent. And it's too expensive, she says. And with late fees of $40 to $50 compounding her financial plight, I don't think she's ever been on time in her rent. Number five, most epic commercial real estate crisis in U.S. history has begun. We're being warned that the two massive defaults in San Francisco that recently made headlines all over the world could just be the tip of the iceberg. News of Park Hotels and Resorts plan to surrender ownership of two of San Francisco's largest hotels is the beginning of what could potentially become a mass exodus of hotels from the city as 30 additional properties are facing massive loans due over the next 2 years. The company behind the hotels announced Monday it had stopped making payments on its $725 million loan that is due in November for the Hilton San Francisco Union Square and Park 55 hotels. Number six, major corporate bankruptcies are happening at the fastest pace that we've seen since 2010. It's insane. Initial jobless claims just rose to their highest level in almost 2 years. Oh, but Joey and the boys keep telling us everything is just fine. Number eight, according to Challenger, Gray and Christmas, during the first 5 months of the year, the number of announced job cuts was up 315% compared to the same 5 months a year ago. And number nine, U.S. manufacturing has now fallen into contraction territory. Do you understand what that means? We're not manufacturing what we're used to manufacturing in this country. Seven consecutive months in a row. Number 10, European manufacturing has also dropped into contraction territory. Is everything getting manufactured in China? What in the hell is going on? Number 11, it's being reported that new numbers show that the EU entered a recession in the first quarter of this year. This is insane. This is a lot of bad news. And yet if this goes on, conditions are going to continue to deteriorate throughout the rest of this year and into next. We are living in a critical moment in human history, people. And those who've been waiting for life to return to normal can stop waiting. It looks like it's never going to happen. Do you understand that? Crazy. Absolutely insane. Money expert is warning that government may freeze new bank withdrawals. What happens if you head on down to the bank tomorrow to get your, you know, $3,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 or $100,000 and your bank shuts you down and says you can't take it? This is nuts. Absolutely nuts. And yet the U.S. Treasury is expected to borrow, I don't know this number, that's 1,000, million, billion, and trillion. The U.S. Treasury is expected to borrow over $1 trillion in the next 6 months, which could trigger a banking exodus. U.S. banks could suffer a massive flight of deposits if the Treasury goes ahead with this plan to restore cash balances by borrowing over $1 trillion. Up, J.P. Morgan analysts estimate the U.S. is going to need to borrow $1.1 trillion in short-dated Treasury bills by the end of the year. Why is it that everything goes back to J.P. Morgan? Why is it that Jamie Dimon and J.P. Morgan the Pirate, Chase, seem to be calling the shots across the board? Money expert warns government may freeze new bank withdrawals. That's coming out of J.P. Morgan Chase, too. This is insanity, people. Pure insanity. And I begin to see little bits and pieces here and there. The death of the bank branch. American banks have shut almost 10,000 branches since 2019, leaving scores of communities without access to basic financial services. In 2019, 1,417 bank branches were closed. The next year, another 2,126. 2021, there was just under 3,000 more bank branches shut down. And in 2022, almost 3,100. And we're halfway into 2023. This is a bank branch bloodbath. A week ago, I was doing some reading on Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo Bank in Arizona is beginning to list bank branches that are going to be shutting down. And 3 days ago, they came out with a list of Chase branches that they're going to be shutting down. Manager, Soros Fund Management, says that more U.S. bank failures are incoming. $5.6 trillion. He says, I think you're going to see more bank failures, likely in the small banks. So it's not going to be the big headlines and the size of the failures we've had so far. But I think there are more problems under the surface. So you'll see continued sales or shutdowns. They're going to have to prepare for incoming regulatory measures, which have been called pretty punitive. They claim the Federal Reserve is likely going to introduce regulations that require banks to report their unrealized losses on assets such as government bond holding. If you ask any financial expert over the past couple of months about how the U.S. economy was doing, you almost certainly heard them ominously predict that we're heading for a recession this year. In January, it was forecasted that the economy would struggle with rising unemployment, saying it would fall into a slow session. Nay, we had a strong jobs report. But it was stated that a lot of economists who have called for a recession are now in the uncomfortable position of pushing back the start date. And every day, Americans still feel glum, according to Gallup. The research firm's latest economic index reading is minus 43 on a scale of minus 100 to 100, where zero means an equal amount of Americans feel that the economy is doing well versus those who say it's doing poorly. It doesn't stop. As I think we shared with you last week, some of the other headlines we've got posted at Sierra Madre. Three reasons to switch banks now. $600 a month payments set to resume. Americans say they're financially unprepared. What's the $600 a month payments? Oh, school loans. Treasury Department may issue $1.6 trillion in T-bills this year as it rebuilds its coffers after the debt ceiling deal. And none of this stops. Absolutely none of this is stopping. Well, let's kind of part from all of this for a bit. On Tuesday, we talked about my time in high school, you know, back in the educational world. Well, let's take it down a different level today. Let me share with you some stories for children as we face the U.S. economic fairy tale. We all remember when Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and took a big fall. You know, all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty together again. But I see a similar fate for the U.S. debt egg, whose cracks are just about, well, everywhere. The first obvious but media-ignored signs of this breaking egg emerged in September of 2019, when the TBTF banks no longer trusted each other's collateral. And the repo market spiked overnight, prompting Uncle Fed to be the lender of last resort to its spoiled little banking nephews. All of which required hundreds and hundreds of billions in mouse-clicked liquidity. You understand that. You're pulling money out of your bank by your computer. But then again, folks, what does a billion or a trillion even mean anymore to a mouse clicker and $31-plus trillion in growing public debt, huh? Come on. Numbers like debts have effectively become merely abstractions in what we describe as a banalization of debt. And since the repo crisis, as Uncle Sam's twin deficits expanded at a fairy tale pace alongside rising rate policies, which neutered the price of sovereign bonds and hence the balance sheets and the life cycles of regional banks, the Humpty Dumpty U.S. arrived at yet another climactic debt ceiling reality check. It's kind of like kicking the can. Except we were kicking the breaking egg. And as was predicted, this crisis was solved by a predictable can-kicking of its debt responsibilities and the reality checks into a post-election cycle. How politically convenient. In fact, political convenience at the expense of economic common sense or fiscal accountability is the very hallmark of our math-blind yet power-smug representatives in D.C. But for those paying attention, however, the U.S. not only voted past its $31.4 trillion debt ceiling, it removed and suspended that ceiling altogether. Which effectively now allows the children in D.C. to borrow and spend without limit through 2025. In short, the Humpty Dumpty debt egg is getting fatter and fatter, and it's wobbling on the wall. And so we have to ask the question, how does a dollar-thirsty Humpty Dumpty wobble? Well, having artificially solved or postponed an otherwise very toxic and real debt crisis, the post-debt ceiling policymakers will now have to decide where the much-needed liquidity will come from to keep Humpty Dumpty alive. Because debt, as it's paid for with synthetic liquidity, is the only thing keeping them from a fall. And yet, how do we fill an empty treasury? The question is, how much the U.S. Treasury is willing to liquefy or to refill a very thirsty Treasury General Account, or TGA, which has been the invisible source of funding to offset the Fed's mid-2022 policy of so-called balance sheet tightening? I mean, come on. Whenever Powell grabs headlines for tightening liquidity, the TGA quietly provides more of the same behind a TGA curtain of complexity. But now the TGA needs a refill of U.S. dollars to continue this charade of musical dollar chairs. This is pure insanity. Stated simply, there is a great big sucking sound coming from the TGA, which is thirsty, very thirsty, for U.S. dollars. And where will the money come from? Should the U.S. Treasury make a generous liquidity injection into the TGA from bank reserves. Wait a minute, what's the bank reserve? Is that counting on people having their deposits in the bank? Maybe that's why there's so many billions and trillions of dollars being taken out of the banks right now. So all of this could dry up other corners of a breaking U.S. system equally thirsty for similar injections of U.S. dollars. In short, the liquidity option is dangerous and oh so unlikely. Alternatively, however, the Fed's reverse repo liquidity water cannon could spray the TGA with a necessary liquidity, that's U.S. dollars, to buy more of Uncle Sam's IOUs and thus buy the TGA's borrow and spend system more time rather than solutions. Look, in the past, the banks were buyers of those IOUs, but we all know how well that worked for them in 2023. The banks aren't buying the IOUs. And so once again, and amidst all this deliberate DC confusion, the simple question remains, who will buy the IOUs, the Treasury bills, needed to keep Humpty Dumpty alive, baby? The U.S. Treasury's bank reserves? The Fed's reverse repo program? How about the U.S. T-weary banks, the money market funds? None of which are any fun to be around anymore. Ah, but you see, through all this maze more clearly, one must always look at the bond market. The bond market, baby! And yet it's quite boring, isn't it? If the Fed keeps raising rates and tightening its balance sheet, and it was announced today, oh, it's not going up right now. But Jerome, oh no, he's keeping his eye on it, and he's planning on popping it up a couple more times. My God, does this crap ever end? If the Fed keeps raising rates and tightening its balance sheet, those T-bills needed to keep Humpty Dumpty on the wall are going to fall in price, and hence rise in yields, becoming far more expensive for Uncle Sam to repay. And that is the problem. Of course, then you got Janet. I can't even remember what her title is. But remember, Janet, before Powell, was head of the Federal Reserve. Look what it's led to us. Because more important and far less discussed or understood is Janet Yellen's preference to issue IOUs to refill the TGA from the short end of the duration spectrum. You know, short-term T-bills, rather than longer-term U.S. Treasury bonds. But would it not be cheaper for Uncle Sam to issue longer-term bonds at lower yields or interest expense to continue its debt orgy of extend and pretend? I mean, what in the hell is going on behind the scenes of Yellen's Treasury Department? Oh, that's what she is, the Treasury Secretary. Yeah, Yellen is still under the collusion that the U.S. Treasury market in general and the U.S. Treasury bill market in particular is the safest, most loved, and hence most liquid IOU in the world. But even Yellen cannot have ignored the simple fact that a post-sanction world of weaponized dollars is dumping rather than buying those IOUs and stacking gold instead. Oh, yes. There's absolutely no two ways about it. Oh, this is interesting. Since the fourth quarter of 2014, going into the fourth quarter of 2022, so this is just a bit dated, the holdings of U.S. Treasury holdings had dropped by 44.5. I don't know if that's dollars or percents or what. But the holdings in gold had increased by over twice that amount. Interesting. But maybe Yellen's now desperately aware that in order to keep the debt that Humpty Dumpty egg alive, she's now going to have to issue more and more yield sexy, but harder to repay treasury bills to buy time in a debt-soaked nation that's running out of time and money. But far more ominously, perhaps Yellen is slowly coming to a sober conclusion, which the markets and mathematical realists understood long before the fork-tongued policymakers, that Uncle Sam's debt cancer is simply too fatal to cure with longer duration bonds, or at some point, any bonds at all. Well, who the hell is going to be buying them? And so for now, a desperate Yellen has no choice but the last resort of issuing more of the sacred, yet more expensive T-bills in order to keep the yield curve from inverting to levels so damn grotesque that the sound of Humpty Dumpty's fall would echo through eternity. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. But let's go back to basics. Because the question remains, who will buy the T-bills, the IOUs, at these trillion-dollar levels necessary to cushion Humpty Dumpty's fall? Well, our opinion, and for now it's the only opinion, one based on flow probabilities, the math of interest expense, the reality of U.S. Treasury-weary banks, the historical lessons of nations over their skis and debt, is that the ultimate buyer of Uncle Sam's debt be the Fed itself. And in short, and as worn since quantitative tightening began in earnest in 2022, we see an unavoidable and inevitable pivot to either open QE or hidden repo, reverse repo QE, once Powell's higher for longer efforts to become Volcker reborn are won at the expense of Humpty Dumpty's demise. Let's put this in more simple terms. Once the tightening and the rate hiking breaks the national economy into a disinflationary or even deflationary spiral, the thirst for more mouse click than inflationary billions and trillions will be obvious. So what do? Do they save the system or do they save the currency? Because the thirst will force the system into a stagflationary solution of more fake, debased money in which the currency is sacrificed to save an otherwise unworthy, rigged, and broken system. I'll say it again. In the end, the last bubble to pop is always the currency, because they can keep on printing it, baby. But the more you keep printing it, the less it's worth. And so, we go from Humpty Dumpty to gold. Because gold is insurance for currencies that are already dying. And regardless of the U.S. dollar's relative but ever-weakening strength and hegemony, it and other currencies' inherent purchasing power, when measured against gold, has fallen by greater than 98% since Nixon closed the gold window in 1971. Well, there they go, blaming Nixon once again. Our problem existed long before Nixon. And the one factor that they all forget about Nixon is the man had no choice. Every other nation in this planet who was holding U.S. federal dollars could demand payment in gold to the Federal Reserve Bank of the United States. If they were holding U.S. dollars, which were in the hundreds and thousands and ten thousands, et cetera, All they had to do was contact and give us the gold. Do you think there's as much gold as in Fort Knox as there was in 1964, 65 when the movie Goldfinger was made? No, Nixon shut that window down in 1971. In many respects, to save our gold holdings. Because after he did that, no nation was able to come to us and demand payment in gold. So stop blaming Nixon for all this. I look at the numbers, it's horrific. Many can, will, and do anxiously track and ask about the daily price of gold, a price which is ironically measured in increasingly worthless fiat currencies. I share with you, this spot gold business is nonsense. Spot gold, spot silver, it's a figure that's used to sell paper gold, paper silver on Wall Street. That's not going to do with the real product. And as more and more people acquire the gold, acquire the silver, they're holding on to it. They're not able to mine and mint enough gold and enough silver to and fabricate a product. Enough product to strike American gold and silver eagles. One particular product that I acquired for years and years and years. It's called the A-Mark round. The 1 ounce silver round. That thing never changed in its design for 20 some odd years that I marketed. And the company that minted them for them was the same company that was providing the blank discs that were sold to the U.S. Mint for the striking of the American silver eagle. And as things began to increase for the U.S. Treasury, that's where the company concentrated. And no longer were we able to get the same rounds that we had done for so many years. All that we look at with spot figures, the fixation, it's especially true and understandable of speculators and traders. Clients that I've developed over the last 25, 30 odd years are not traders. Oh, they're speculators. But they're not speculating on making a ton of money. They're speculating that no matter when it all goes to hell, they're still going to have something left. They're going to have something left to barter and trade with and still be able to buy the same amount of food they bought in 71 or 1931 or whatever the case may happen to be. And don't kid yourself. A wealth preserver for myself, for those who choose to do business with us. One's in such fiat fantasy is a dangerous and consensus-driven habit. But your wealth, gold, and infinite duration and finite supply, when it comes to paper, am I still there? Yeah, I'm still here. You lost me. What do you mean you lost me? Oh, man, we got a crappy connection. I'm fed up with this. It popped back. We're having some interesting connection issues. Keep beep, 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 beep. We're getting the beep, beep again? I don't know what we're going to do with this. I may have to find... I may just call in on the phone and do the broadcast anymore. But we're talking about U.S. bonds. We're not talking about the singer from the 60s, okay? Gary, U.S. bonds. Now, you know what? Go find that song by Gary U.S. Bonds. What the heck was that? Yeah. My convictions, my bias, I believe I've been comfortably patient and far-sighted since I was a very young kid. Yeah, believe that measuring gold as well as your own wealth in such a fiat fantasy is a dangerous and consensus-driven habit. But we measure that wealth in ounces and grams, not euros, dollars, and pesos. They are the infinite duration and a finite supply. This is a so-called pet rock. This so-called pet rock, of which central banks just bought over 1,100 tons in 2022, serves as a constant as the U.S. dollar races and scatters about the repo, and the euro dollar and the derivative markets in a complex and also sexy, often sexy, and is all that player in a familiar and losing game in which all fiat money reverts to its zero means. And so we go from Humpty Dumpty to the big bad wolf. To those who cannot conceive that tomorrow will be different than yesterday, or that the USA and the US dollar are not immortal, such statements are castigated as oh so sensational. And yet, if you step back and objectively observe the slow but steady history of the greenback, it becomes undeniable that gold never really rises. Currencies, it's insanity. So if we take a look at, let's go back to 1913. Let's say your forebears, your grandfathers, your great-grandfathers invested $1,000 in gold. 1913. 21 bucks an ounce. They were able to buy 48 ounces. It's interesting. The dollar's lost 99% of its value. Now, if you take $1,000 and 1971, 28 ounces of gold at 35 bucks an ounce. Of course, you still couldn't buy gold at that. You could buy paper. You've lost 98% since then. 1999, $1,000 would have bought you 4 ounces of gold at 250 bucks an ounce. 88% loss. 2002, 3 ounces of gold. If you had $1,000 to put in, yeah, at one point in 2002, we could have bought gold for 300 bucks an ounce. 11 lousy years ago, 73% loss. 2023, you'd have been lucky to buy a half an ounce of gold. You know, like the fable of the three little piggies, there's always going to be those who prefer building their homes of straw and mud to have more time to enjoy the seductive call of rising asset bubbles and pet rock jokes. I mean, after all, folks, who can deny the high times and record-breaking wealth inequality handed to us by years of an asset-inflating yet price discovery-destroying and capitalism-killing central bank whose decades of fake liquidity and unprecedented debt have created an artificial sense of endless pressure? Let me see if I can find something here. And I keep promising to update this thing, and I've not had a chance to do it. Look, I'm busy. I got a lot of stuff going on. Come on, come on, come on. Where's my Ford? Where's my Ford? I'm not talking about Ford's Theater, okay? There we go. Okay, now look. What I'm going to share with you is outdated. I promise you that. I've done this before. The last time I published this was in 2020. And it asks the question, how's that dollar working out for you? Think about this. 1978, The average spot gold for the year was $193.22. Today, back in February of 2020, when I published this, spot gold averaged $1,645. Well, wow, it's up about $300 higher than that right now. Mark Zettler, the guy who wrote this, says in 1978 he made $10 an hour. Okay, let's just back up for a second. Let's go back to the $1,645.20 spot figure that we had on February the 21st of 2020. Okay, that's a little over 3 years ago. I don't want the numbers to change. I want this simple. Okay, remember, 1978, average spot gold was $193.22. On February the 21st of 2020, it was $1,645.20. It's higher than that today, but I don't care. So in 1978, Mark Zettler, $10 an hour installing air conditioning, had a brand new truck that cost him $6,800. Rented a two-bedroom house for $300 a month. Gas was 60 cents a gallon. Food and insurance were cheap. Now the same job, he says, pays $17 an hour. The truck is $40,000. The house is $1,400 a month, and food costs seven times more. How can people of the country advance in life like this? Now, my comment was this. In 1978, it would have cost approximately 35.2 ounces of gold to purchase that truck. Today, once again, we're going back to February the 21st of 2020, it would cost approximately 24.1 ounces, which would have left a surplus of 11.1 ounces of gold in your possession. Your net gain, as it were, would have been $18,261. Now, gold is $300 an ounce more expensive to. That's. Probably a basic new truck is, I don't know, 60 grand. I have no idea. I keep wanting to call the local Ford dealer just to get some input. I'm going to call them anyway and get some updates on the kind of stuff that could be done. Well, all this is pretty fun, huh? But that big bad wolf of rising debt levels and disingenuous policymakers is all lurking behind the tree line, occasionally smiling at the happy little piggies playing or politicking in the distance. But soon the debt wolf is going to stand and stretch and roll his mighty neck, my friends. And then he will slowly trot and then canter and finally gallop toward the straw and the mud huts, and he will huff and he will puff and then blow their houses and Humpty Dumpty down. And as we feel, however, that the little piggy who built this financial house of bricks rather than straw is very much like those few nations and enterprises and individuals who've been quietly purchasing physical gold. And by the way, amongst the largest buyers of physical gold, Russia, China, Turkey at about only 25% of what the Russian. And then I sit there looking at the rest of those that are on the list: Kazakhstan, India, Uzbekistan, Poland, Iraq, Azerbaijan, Brazil, Hungary, Thailand, South Korea, Egypt, Qatar. What's UAE? I don't even know. Oh, how come America's not even on here? All those that I just listed are considering, United Arab Republic. Is that it? Oh, United Arab Emirates. Okay, got it. America's not even on there. We're not amongst the largest gold buyers in the world. It's real simple, folks. When the debt wolf comes, only the strongest houses will thrive or survive. And it's not always the houses that you will expect. Give some serious consideration to that interesting story we've just shared with you. Stories for Children. The U.S. economic fairy tale. But that, my friends, is what we're living. If I can be of any assistance, assisting you with gold acquisitions or silver acquisitions, give me a call. Had a client call today, had some things to work with. We talked earlier in the week by text, and we wound up splitting the mustard up a little bit. My goal is to get as much gold for the money for a client as possible, but I also want them to have some control. So we did a mix of some Canadian maple leaves and some Valcombi 1x10 breakable bars and some silver. The maple leaves were less expensive than the Valcombi bars, but the Valcombi bars would leave her a little bit more control, which is important. Keep in mind, we want to avoid this banalization of debt. We want to do what has to be done to protect ourselves, to be able to care for our families. I'm hearing more and more ads lately on radio and television of not for precious metals, sucking people's money to help them create their trust and make sure they don't lose everything. Looks like my time's up. Been an interesting hour. I hope you've learned something out of it. I hope you got a little bit of entertainment. Maggie Rose will be back with you tomorrow. I'll be back next week, Lord willing. Take care of yourselves. We'll talk then. By the way, if you want to get a hold of me, you can find me on the website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. You can give me a call, 602-799-8214. I'm out of here. I want to listen to George Michael, huh? Good night. Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past, hand in hand with ignorance and legitimate excuses. The rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak of. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Doo-doo-doo. Or do you think we have time? Do you? To what you can. And charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year, yeah, yeah. This is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there
is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chances. Say I sang it 20 years and a day. There's nothing changed, the human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to a wall, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.